Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. It is Wednesday, May 9th. This is Michael Collins Piper coming to you from Washington, D.C., headquarters of American Free Press. And, of course, folks, I'm coming to you on the Republic Broadcasting Network. If you're not aware of that, then that means you somehow came across this program and this broadcast network by accident. Because we do have the regular listeners here, but we're always hoping to expand. We don't want to be preaching to the choir, and that's why it is so important for those who are the regular listeners to this network to do everything they can to help keep Republic Broadcasting broadcasting. But more than that, expanding, reaching out, getting a new audience. We're going to have a very interesting program here tonight with a special guest, and I'll tell you more about him in a minute or so. But in the meantime, I want you to keep in mind that the reason why we have Republic Broadcasting, why we have this program and so many good programs on this network, it's because the supporters of RBN help make this network possible. And there's a lot of ways you can support RBN. You can make a regular pledge. Of course, if you're on the Internet, you can go right to the website and use PayPal. Or, you know, you can call in toll-free. It's an 800 number. Use your credit card. The number is 800-724-2719, 800-724-2719. Or you can just use plain old regular mail, or as the Internet savvy people call it, snail mail. Republic Broadcasting is located in Round Rock, Texas. Now, that's pretty easy to remember, but I'm going to give you the street address, Round Rock, Texas. It's Republic Broadcasting, or RBN for short, 1015 South Mays Street, M-A-Y-S, South Mays Street, Suite 100. As I say, Round Rock, Texas, 78664. Now, you know, folks, you can also, there's a lot of books and videos and other good products available through RBN. Check out the website, folks. You got to help RBN stay on the air so you can continue to get the good programming that all of us here on RBN try to bring you. And tonight, we've got a very interesting show guaranteed, so stay tuned. This is Michael Collins Piper coming to you courtesy of the good people who do support RBN. That's you.
Catholic priest calls for Christians to resist unjust war. It is an established historical fact that the Vatican has publicly stated that the Iraqi war is an unjust war. However, it miserably failed to tell its Catholic soldiers that it is a mortal sin to attack Iraq. The Protestant ministers in unison should take the logical step of telling their soldiers that it is a serious offense against God to participate in this unjust war. However, if enough Protestant ministers do not take this logical step, then the lay Catholics and Protestants have a serious obligation to demand of their clergy to take this logical step publicly. Personally, I am doing all that I can to stop the continuation of the murder, carnage, and suffering that is being committed against the innocent people of Iraq in this terrible, unjust war. For additional facts regarding this grave matter, order the lecture by Father John Martinez entitled WW3 Can Still Be Prevented. Just go to www.republicbroadcasting.org and click on our web banner for more information and ordering.
Since 1988, Herbal Healer Academy has been the global supplier of the finest natural medicines. We specialize in keeping you alive and healthy. We provide outstanding products like ECX, colloidal silver, olive leaf extract, oregano oil, and hundreds of herbals, oils, books, and educational materials. We have homeopathic detox solutions for chemtrails, radiation, MSG, and aspartame poisoning. We also train naturopathic healers via correspondence education. Why wait any longer? Go ahead and do it today. Sign up on the web and receive our new 120-page catalog and a current Herbal Healer newsletter free. Simply log on to herbalhealer.com and check out the online member testimonials and our hundreds of exceptional products. That's herbalhealer.com, your website for safe, effective, natural alternatives and education. That's herbalhealer.com.
Hi, Steve Shank, Fearless Task Force. The J. Michael Stevens Group is shipping a lot of storable food. It's smart that you're getting going at your food supplies. 1 week after the report came out that the world had eaten more food than it produced last year, the country turned into a deep freeze, wiping out a huge part of the new crop. An example? In 24 hours, clementine oranges doubled in price. If you intend to start or finish your supply, call immediately. When you call, tell them how many adults and how many years of food you need. When there are shortages, missing items will be substituted, maintaining the quantity of food necessary. Money is not the problem. Availability is. Be careful. When food supplies get short, with no future, many retailers ship real trash to supply you. For safe food you can trust, call 800-409-5633. On the web, efoodsdirect.com. 800-409-5633.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back. Michael Collins Piper here, coming to you from Washington on this, the Republic Broadcasting Network. A reminder, folks, RBN does need your support. You like the programming here. If you like my show, make a donation to RBN. Show them how much you like this show and all the other good programming. Please do it, folks. Now, I'm waiting for our guest to call in. Maybe he's running a little late here, but in the meantime, we already have a caller, so I guess he's calling about some other matter since he obviously hasn't heard the guest. So let me go ahead and bring up our caller. Let's not make him wait, and let's go right to the phones with Larry from Florida. Larry, are you there?
Good evening.
How you doing?
Oh, I'm getting depressed. You know, I listen
You're
to...
getting depressed. Okay. Why are you getting depressed, Larry?
Well, you know, I have just come to the conclusion that your average white couch potato Joe six-pack workaday guy is just such a lemming that he's just such a sheep that nobody's ever really going to reach him until the economy absolutely crashes and he's, you know, living under a plastic tarp out in the woods wondering what the hell happened.
You know, Larry, this has kind of been, you know, I got involved in this mess 25 years ago, basic, a little bit more than that. But in any case, you know, I have had this frustration myself. You know, I remember one time, forgive me for mumbling here, but a lot of thoughts are rumbling through my head. I guess that's kind of the way you feel, too. You know, you're torn. You want to speak out. You want to try to communicate your ideas. You see other people who you think should be buying into your ideas and supporting what you support, and yet inexplicably they're busy watching the football game or if not even watching the football game, just sitting around drinking beer, doing nothing, and those that do complain don't do anything politically.
Right.
Yeah,
well, you know,
it is. It's a great frustration to me, too. You know, I remember telling the story on this show. We had a young caller, Joe from Pennsylvania. Haven't heard from Joe in a while, but I remember telling Joe that one time years ago when I was first started getting politically active that I found myself one night unable to sleep because I was so frustrated. I was sitting up thinking about things that needed to be said and done and things that I could do, and I realized the next morning that I wouldn't be able to do anything if I was going to spend my life tearing myself apart emotionally, physically. You know, and that I could just do what I could do and hope that it would have an impact. And that's what I've been doing. And you know, Larry, you do too.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, I guess, most people don't have a clue because they don't hear, you know, the other side of the mainstream media that's fed to them. They just don't hear it. So they can't know if they don't hear anything. But the ones that do hear it, they complain, you know, a new world order, blah, 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 and they complain, but they don't do anything. And by do anything, I'm not talking about taking your deer rifle out of the closet and going and arresting illegal aliens or something. I'm just, you know, saying do something. It's gotten to the point where I hate to admit it, I hate to say it, but you know those Muslims that were arrested in New Jersey yesterday for plotting to go on Fort Dix and kill soldiers? I've got more respect for those guys than I do my next-door neighbor.
I kind of understand what you mean. I know, excuse me, people are so politically sensitive that I can just hear people out there pounding the table or kicking the radio and saying, he's un-American.
Yeah.
But the fact is, I know exactly what you're saying, that, you know, frankly, I've looked at that case just a little bit here. I think there's probably a lot of holes in it, so I'm not sure these guys are guilty of anything other than playing paintball in the woods and shouting, God is great in Arabic. But aside from that, I understand what you're saying, that if these guys are guilty of what they're charged of, then they are actually doing something in furtherance of their beliefs,
right?
Or in reaction to things that they don't like.
Yeah, they're doing something. It don't make no difference, you know, if we think it's right or wrong. At least these guys are, if these are guys were really plotting something, at least they were doing what they believed in. And you know those Jews who attacked Paul Fromm?
Yeah,
I got more respect for them than I
exactly,
do
my Larry.
Average white neighbor.
You are, yes, I understand exactly what you're saying. And, you know, it's sad that we've reached that point, but, you know, this has been part of the problem we've had for a long, long time. So we're just going to have to do it. Larry, listen, my guest has called in. I'm glad we got him here. So I want to say farewell to you for now.
Okay.
And, of course, you can call again and again and again, Larry. Always good to hear from you. All right, ladies and gentlemen, our guest has arrived a little late, but if we don't get a full hour with him this evening, I'm sure we can get another hour or many other hours with him in the future. Let me tell you about him real quickly. His name is Joe Cortina. Joe Cortina is a former Green Beret, Captain Joe Cortina. He's been all over the world. He's been in the U.S. military. He's been in private ventures, in diplomatic ventures since then. He's someone who has been there. Now, let me preface the introduction of Joe Cortina by saying this much. President Bush has declared May to be American Jewish Heritage Month or Jewish History Month. You know, a couple months ago, I met some fellow, an American Jewish gentleman, who I got talking to him, and ultimately it came out in the course of the discussion that I'd been writing and speaking somewhat critically of Israel. And this gentleman said to me, well, have you ever been to Israel? And I said, well, no, I haven't been. And he said, well, then how can you write about Israel if you've never been there? Well, of course, how do you answer a question like that? He thought that was a really clever question. He thought it was a question that put me on the spot. And I said, well, I write a lot about a lot of countries that I've never been to. And I said, many of the people that write in favor of Israel have never been there. But be that as it may, the guest we're about to bring on, Captain Joe Cortina, former Captain Joe Cortina, has been to Israel. He knows a lot about Israel, and he's going to be able to tell us some things about Israel and the attitudes of the Israeli military and the Israeli intelligence and the Israelis in general toward the United States that might tend to contradict the general perception of what many American supporters of Israel think is the Israeli attitude towards Israel's best friend. I want to thank Mark Glenn for introducing Joe Cortina to me. I've never spoken to Joe until this very moment. Joe, hello. Welcome aboard.
It's a pleasure.
Yeah, glad to have you here, Joe. You heard my introduction. Have I misled anybody in any of the details I've given out tonight about you and your background?
No. It usually gets over-embellished, and I end up being some kind of war hero, which I'm not. But I think I have done a lot of traveling. I've had a lot of association with the intelligence community at various levels. I have hunted real terrorists in El Salvador. I was an advisor to their country for handling of infrastructure, terrorist, associated things, and so on. So I've had a little experience with it here, and I have been inside with the intelligence community in Palestine, in the occupied territories, and in Israel itself. I've been places where civilians don't go.
Okay.
I don't think any of the Havila Nagila dancing girl groups will ever have witnessed the Merkava 2 tanks on maneuvers in the Negev Desert. I have.
You know, Joe, in that regard, now, before you ever ended up in Palestine and saw what was happening there, did you have any fixed ideas of your own about Israel or U.S. policy towards Israel and vice versa?
Yeah, strange that you asked that. As a matter of fact, I did. I've been fiercely anti-communist ever, you know, pretty much as I can remember, especially from the service and all that. And I went there. I'd been all over the world. I've traveled probably to 12 or 15 countries before there, but never the Mideast. And I went there with this preconceived notion, and I'm not sure why, but just had it in my mind. I was very distrustful of American Jews. I already knew what they were doing in our government and Hollywood and corrupting our youth, et cetera, the usual suspects. But I had this idea in my head that Israelis were somehow above all that. They took the high ground. They were industrious, brave, courageous, fair, moral people, more or less. And the idea that the Arab peoples, as I did travel in other Arab countries as well later, I had a little bit of built-in animosity because of the adherence of, say, particularly Egypt to aid from the Soviet Union and so on and so forth. So I had that mindset when I went there.
Okay, you know, that's very interesting because, you know, you're not the first person who has told me something like that. I've known a lot of people who kind of had some maybe negative attitudes toward American Jews, but then they still thought, you know, oftentimes coming from that military perspective or from an anti-communist perspective, they looked upon Israel as, well, a good ally against the Soviet Union, more or less. And it sounds to me like that's exactly where you were coming from when you went there. So,
oh, yes.
Yeah.
And I consider myself a pretty well-educated person. I don't think I'm easily fooled. But that to say it was a 180-degree change to what I know today is being mild.
Yeah. When did you first go to Israel?
It was in the... When was the first Intifada? The mid-late 70s, I
was
believe.
It, you know, it's funny. I was thinking it was later than that. I was thinking it was... Boy, oh boy, I'm getting old. I was thinking that was post, like, 83 or 84.
Maybe, you know, maybe it was. I'd have
yeah,
to look
I'm getting old. I forget
you,
some of these dates, yeah.
You go so many places, you do so many things, and
hey, well, Joe, we have a break coming up there. We will pursue this when we reach a minute or so. Folks, this is going to be a very interesting program. We have a very interesting guest, and I guarantee you, you will not hear Joe Cortina interviewed about this topic on ABC or CBS or NBC. They might bring him on to talk about, maybe he's a gardening expert. Maybe they'll bring him on to talk about his garden, but not about the Middle East.
Stand up and be counted. Catholic priest calls for Christians to resist Bush's impending unjust attack against Iran. George W. Bush lied to the world to get the backing of the American people to attack Iraq. Now he is lying to the world to get the backing of the American people to attack Iran. The Catholic and Protestant clergy have failed miserably to come out publicly against the upcoming unjust attack of Iran. Therefore, the lay Catholics and Protestants should demand of their respective clergies to take a righteous public stand against this upcoming Iranian unjust war. Each one of us will render to God a strict account of what each of us did to stop these diabolical tyrants, like George W. Bush, who, as roaring lions, go about the world seeking whom to murder. For additional facts concerning this upcoming Iranian unjust war, order the one-hour lecture by Father John Martinez entitled Stand Up and Be Counted. Just go to www.republicbroadcasting.org and click on the web banner for more information and ordering.
Eating a well-balanced diet filled with whole foods is sometimes hard to achieve, so supplementation can be beneficial. But WholeFoodToday.com believes that if you want to supplement, you should be doing so with products made from complex and natural whole foods, which the body can recognize and utilize as food, rather than with synthetic formulas of isolated vitamins made in chemical factories. WholeFoodToday is dedicated to bringing you the finest health products at an incredible value. nutrient formulas for men and women, super green food formulas made from over 30 vegetables, legumes, sprouts, immunity health formulas, coconut oil, krill oil, and many other products made 100% naturally. Visit us today at www.wholefoodtoday.com or call 1-800-989-9840. That's www.wholefoodtoday.com. Or call 1-800-989-9840. Whole Food Today offers free shipping to all orders anywhere in the continental U.S. Whole Food Today, empowering people to attain and maintain extraordinary health.
Since 1988, Herbal Healer Academy has been the global supplier of the finest natural medicines. We specialize in keeping you alive and healthy. We provide outstanding products like ECX, colloidal silver, olive leaf extract, oregano oil, and hundreds of herbals, oils, books, and educational materials. We have homeopathic detox solutions for chemtrails, radiation, MSG, and aspartame poisoning. We also train naturopathic healers via correspondence education. Why wait any longer? Go ahead and do it today. Sign up on the web and receive our new 120-page catalog and a current Herbal Healer newsletter free. Simply log on to herbalhealer.com and check out the online member testimonials and our hundreds of exceptional products. That's herbalhealer.com, your website for safe, effective, natural alternatives and education. That's herbalhealer.com.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back. Michael Collins Piper coming to you live from Washington, D.C. here on the Republic Broadcasting Network. We've got Joe Cortina with us. He's been to Israel. He's been involved in things in Israel through his capacity of both diplomacy and intelligence, not to mention in the military realm. And he knows what it's all about from an American perspective, a very unique American perspective. And, Joe, well, we've got you to Israel. Just if you could, just outline what you saw, what you heard, what you felt.
Okay, Michael. We did several things. First, I was there at the behalf of my host, who was at that time the top-ranking military liaison officer to the IDF. And we were both in the military together. We were like bunkmates and buddies and beer-drinking pals and all that. He stayed in as a career officer, and I got out. And he ended up being a full bird colonel. I just made it to captain. I was about to make major, and I got a little disillusioned with some things in the politics, so I just said to hell with it myself. But at any rate, I remember him talking with a Palestinian. He said he had a meeting. He had to go, and for me to entertain myself for a couple hours. And I said, "Jim, what are you doing with these? These guys are the terrorists, aren't they?" And you got to remember, I was kind of naive at that point. And he said, "Well, there's a lot more to this than meets the eye," and blah blah blah. He said, "We're going to do some interesting things in the next few days." So one of the things we don't really have time for it tonight, but I'm just going to tip the topic, the main
meat. Yeah, go ahead.
Meat. And one of the things we did, the main part of this, is we had a went in an armored embassy, an official embassy vehicle, with people from Mossad, people from Langley, my friend, the full bird colonel. And we had a military escort. It was a jeep full of IDF paras. And we went through all these checkpoints and everything. And I was just told, Jim just said, "Look, just sit tight, don't open your mouth, smile, be agreeable." He said, "It's not like in the movies. Nobody's going to ask and say, 'Hey, are you with the CIA?' They'll suppose you wouldn't be here if you weren't."
Okay.
And we laughed because he says, "As a matter of fact, you have official CIA camera issue," just by coincidence. So he says, they'll notice that. So I said, "Okay, I know how to play the game. I've been involved in a lot of this stuff for many years." So anyway, we get in there at a checkpoint just before we go in. We have a little break. We're out of the vehicle for a while. And I hear two IDF soldiers, two young guys, and I hear this distinct what I consider disgusting. I was born in New York, by the way. I can't stand New York or New Yorkers. I'm glad my parents escaped when I was three. That used to be my first turn off in women. Number one was smoking, and number two was they had this New York, you know, live on Toity Toid Street. So I heard this New Jersey, New York accent, you know, and I thought, what the hell? And these both these guys were doing it. So I walked up to him and says, hey, you guys have spent quite a bit of time in the States, obviously. I couldn't, I was overhearing some of your conversation. He says, oh, yeah. I says, yeah, we're from the States. We're citizens. And I kind of took me back. And I was just about to think something very unkind and unpatriotic. And I thought, eh, don't be judgmental. So I said, well, you know, I said, I got to hand it to you guys. Really got a lot of chutzpah. You know, after you've served your own country, you know, you find time in your life to come over here, and I guess you consider this, you know, some of your forefathers' land now or something like, you know, I said something tactful like that. You know what their answer was?
What's that?
They both almost fell down laughing at me. I mean, literally. They went into hysterics. And they said, I said, what's so funny? He says, oh, no. I said, no way we'd ever serve in the American military, right, Jaime? Oh, yeah. They thought this was a big joke. And they displayed their, you know, so much for their loyalty and allegiance to the United States.
So they were going to join. They were going to join the, and they did. They joined the Israeli Defense Force.
Well, they never served a day in uniform for the United States, which they despised, but which had given them everything and their parents everything. But they're there at the behest of the IDF to do their dirty work. Yes, indeed. So that gives you. And this was typical. This was not an atypical experience. This was just one that I thought was more dramatic. At any rate, as the day progressed, we went into, we were on Gaza Strip going, and we approached Gaza City. There's a city there named Gaza City, what was left of it then. And as we were getting somewhere into the city itself, it was obvious it was a war zone. You could see things were just blackened by shelling and destroyed. And all of a sudden, the driver in front of the Jeep, our escort, pulls to a screeching halt. One of the para-IDF guys in the back jumps out of off the back of the Jeep. He had an FNFAL. I remember that just real plain. I'm also a weapons expert, so I know an Uzi from an FN. So it just caught my eye. And we stopped behind them, and I got out of the vehicle. And he dropped down to his knees into a knee firing position, locked and loaded, and I looked right off to our right, just about 25 steps. And there was this young kid, 8 or 9 year old at the most, Palestinian child, young male child, with tears in his eyes, holding his hands up in the air with these little tiny egg-sized rocks. And just with this defiant look on his face through his tears, and he stood there defiantly, knowing he was helpless, but this was his land, his parents' land, and so on. And this grown, brave Jewish soldier was about to blow his brains out. I was very close to him, just parallel to him to where he was facing the child. I had my camera in my hand. I raised it up. I was close enough where my motion caught his eye. I extended my middle finger in kind of the universal gesture and just muttered to him, you know, you SOB, you murder that child, you better kill everybody here because this is going to go worldwide. I remember thinking that. I said, I swear to God, if I go out through this alive, I'm going to get this somehow to the press.
Joe, I think we're about to go to a break here. We should be on a break right now.
You can skip it.
Okay, no, we're skipping the break. We're going
all right,
go.
Good, because the last part of this is important.
Yeah, go right ahead there, Joe. Go ahead.
So he muttered something very unkind to me. He stood down and went back to his Jeep and proceeded to go back in the convoy again. I got back in the vehicle, and one of the intelligence people in there that I'd met said, you know what? You just saved that kid's life. And then there was another guy next to him. I didn't know, you know, some of these people were from Langley, but like I said, they were all with the intelligence. There weren't any turret, no Havanagila crowd in this truck, believe me. And the other guy, Riley, looked up at me and said, yeah. He says, but it won't matter. He says, that kid won't live to see the end of the week. I said, what do you mean? He says, they kill these kids here. They just murder them in cold blood, you know, like they're just dogs in the street. It happens all the time. He said, That kid will definitely, he won't live to see his next birthday. He probably won't live to see the following week. That stuck in my, that burned in my mind till this day.
You know, Joe, that raises a question then. I wonder now, you know, from the reaction that you got from your fellow Americans who were on hand there, would it be safe to say that they were, I mean, you were obviously horrified by what you saw. Were they already so hardened to it, so jaded by it, that they weren't horrified, or were they, what was their attitude?
Well, the second person, the one that, after the first fellow said, you know, you saved that kid's life, the second guy who was a little more jaded, he appeared to, having said it in cynicism, not that he wished the kid to be dead, an innocent child to be slaughtered in front of his eyes, but he said it rather cynically as if, well, he'd been there so much and had witnessed so many of these things that this was just the way it was done in Israel. It was just a matter-of-fact thing to murder children in cold blood. And you have to remember, there's no press there. There's nobody to take up for the child, to defend him, to defend the defenseless, or to do anything for him. And he was just going to die an unknown entity like thousands of children there who have been murdered. And I've heard stories from another very good friend who spent time inside and seen even more than I have. He's seen Red Cross vehicles rocketed in broad daylight, an ambulance with a Red Cross in it, blown off the road and killed everybody inside by an Israeli jet that we bought and paid for. Now, you want to talk about some horror story. And I know this man, I trust his word like I would my own children.
Now, you know, Joe, it's interesting because, you know, I am no pacifist. You know, we've never met and never talked, so I just want to tell you that I am no pacifist, but I am very much anti-war. And, you know, my reaction to this is that there are many people who would say, well, war is hell, and these are the kind of things that happen in wartime. But from my study, I've never been to Palestine, so I can't say it for a fact, but from my study and from stories I have heard, it is my understanding that this attitude towards life, that is this easy on the trigger, you know, this attitude of killing is something that is running pretty rampant through the Israeli mindset in their dealings with the Palestinians, that the Israelis have trigger fingers that are uncontrollable, and that this is part and parcel of the whole policy. Is that accurate?
They are ruthless, cold-blooded, soulless murderers. I hope I live to see the day. I mean, I'm getting on, you know, in years now and so on. I pray to God that I live to see the day when people get enough, there's enough wrath where I can hear or see at least secondarily to find out that Israel has been turned into a glowing cinder that can be seen from the moon.
That's a very interesting, I find that attitude very interesting, particularly because it's coming from the perspective of a man who's been in the military, who's been in combat, who's seen blood being shed basically, you know, in at least two hemispheres from what I can see from what you've told me, and maybe three.
Well, I make no bones about it. These people are as cruel and sadistic as anything, the Viet Cong, anything that you can imagine or heard or read or experienced. These people are true sadists. Rules of engagement have nothing to do with them. There was no provocation whatsoever in this incident. And the stories, see, I haven't told you about the stories that I heard secondhand,
right,
from reliable intelligence people, of murders and horrendous things. I'm just telling you what I have seen,
right,
personally. So that was the attitude. We drove further on into Gaza City, and I noticed that the second story, you got to remember, this is a place where people lived, make a living, a city just like a city you live in, not as big as New York, not as small as Podunk Junction, but a city where people have all their hopes and aspirations and sell their wares and so on. The second levels of all the entire several-block area that we were in were blown away. And I noticed, and I asked about that, and they said, oh, that was done personally by the IDF, by artillery and tanks and so on, so that there wouldn't be the possibility of any defenders to hide, any, have any place to hide up on the second story. So that was their attitude. And you have to remember, the people, you folks that are listening to this, don't ever forget, keep track of what I'm telling you here. I am in a city that was a sovereign country of another people that had been invaded by people for no provocation, who were blowing the city up, murdering their children, raping their women, destroying their crops, and even more. And you're going to hear a little more.
Well, go ahead, Joe. I want to give you a free hand here to just tell us what you saw, because
all right, another incident that I think was particularly odious was quite some time ago. I forget if it was Bathsheba or Hebron, but anyway, it was still in the occupied territories. And up rides this car full of Jews, a Volkswagen convertible. I remember it was a Bug. Beetle convertible, you know, it had the top that you could pull back.
Yeah.
Sticking out of the top was an AR-16, an American rifle, and the flag with the Star of David sticking up out of the top, waving in the wind, and they're driving up and down, taunting people that live in their own homeland. You got to remember, these people are land thieves. It is no different than you being in your neighborhood and me in my neighborhood with my children where I live here in Tampa and seeing a Russian a vehicle go by, or let's say if they had hired the Cubans to do their dirty work or whoever, and knowing that if I try to go out and defend my wife, my family, my home or anything, just a phone call away, there'll be a Merkava 3 tank there and blow that entire community into rubble. And it happens there every day. You don't see it here.
Now,
you don't hear
about
these things.
These guys that were in the guys that were in the Volkswagen, were they military people? Were they
in
uniform?
No, they were civilian squatters, land thieves, people who were given something that didn't belong to them. I can't give my next door neighbor your apartment or your home. That would be thievery, because it doesn't belong to me to give. They were giving away other people's land to these squatters, and, you know, some of this has gotten into the news and so on, and these people are as sinister and violent and cowardly as you can possibly imagine. The most disgusting people. I have hunted terrorists with Salvadorian Rangers. I have been with the Contras in Nicaragua and in El Salvador, a lot of different things. I have never seen a more disgusting people in my life than the Israelis.
That's a very, as I say, you know, it's so important here for our listeners to recognize the ramifications of what you're saying, because you've seen it all. You've seen it all in two different parts of the world here, at least. And what you saw there,
I've seen misery, I've seen killing, I've seen some horrible things and so on. And at first, I felt almost guilty feeling the way about my first statement. I do not anymore. I wish for the destruction. I pray and I hope that God forgives me, because I was raised Christian. That's probably not a real Christian thought, and I'll admit it. But I can't help it. I've always hated bullies. Ever since I was in the first fight I ever got into, ever, when I must have been 4 or 5 years old, some neighborhood kid, I can't remember anything that happened to me for 4 years after that, but I remember that day. He had tied a can or something onto the tail of a cat,
mm-hmm.
and tormented this little animal, and I went after this guy with a rage. And the only good thing about it was, I think I must have started, he must have been, you know, 9 or 10 years old, which at that time was like, you know, like, He was a giant to me.
Yeah.
You know, he was Goliath and I was David. And I caught him off guard. And ever since that day, I have always tried to fight for the underdog. I mean, not if the guy, bad people, but I mean people who have no defense, the defenseless, people cannot help themselves, the helpless. And when you see the cruelty, the sadistic, you can only call these people sadists. I have never seen such sadism in my entire life. It is nauseating.
Yeah,
people
so
here
it's,
will
it's,
all
it's,
people here will ever see is when they go on a Hava Nagila tour and see the Hava Nagila dancing girls and hear all these wonderful little folk tunes and this and that and the other. They will not see this. Let me give you another insight.
Go ahead, please do.
To the psyche of the Jew mind in Israel. You know who Jonathan Pollard is, of course.
Oh, yes.
And probably a lot of informed Americans have heard the name and so on. Do a quick, you know, 20-second sketch. Jonathan Pollard was a naval officer with the United States Navy. He was, I think he was a naturalized citizen. He's from Israel. He was a Jew. He sold secrets. He committed high treason, sold this country out for money like the Rosenbergs did, just did it for money. And I, at the time, I knew some people. A good friend of mine was a CIA station chief, not just a CIA agent, but a station chief. We got to be good friends. I used to talk to him about things that we used to joke, and, you know, he said, look, just if you have to kill me, if you have to tell me this, don't do it, you know. And I asked him, I said, what do you think about the gravity of this particular situation, this particular treason with Pollard? He said, I don't think it can be stated serious enough that we may not know for decades of the real fallout of the gravity of this particular treason committed by Pollard. Hold that thought. One of the most serious treasons ever committed in this country.
Even Bill Clinton was disinclined to give Pollard a pass and give him freedom and send him to Israel. There was so much opposition to it from within the American intelligence community.
The man was a treasonous scumbag of the worst kind. Nothing moral, nothing idealistic, just the typical Jew lust for money and selling out his course. See, they don't consider this their country. 90% of the Jews I've ever met have no true loyalty to this country whatsoever. And here's where it comes out. If you get out of Tel Aviv, most 95% of the tourists that go there only go to Tel Aviv, and maybe the rest will go to Bethlehem and maybe a little shopping at a bazaar in between or someplace else. But they don't go anywhere else. They're advised not to and this and that and the other and so on. Well, I went over a lot of places in Israel. And when you go into the smaller towns, you will see at least I saw dozens and dozens and dozens of instances in several cities of graffiti that Israelis had put showing their love and support for American traitor Jonathan Pollard. Free Jonathan Pollard. Free Jonathan. U.S. bastards, free Jonathan Pollard. This and that and the other. The hate for Americans was so thick you could cut it. Now, do you see this in Tel Aviv? No. Tel Aviv is a sanitized city. And this is, they get a lot of money from tourist trade, and even more important to them is the support they have from these morons, these idiots, these oxymoronic Christians that think they're Zionists and Christians and go there and, you know. But this is the kind of stuff that I actually saw. And he was an urban legend throughout Israel. So much for Israelis' friendship to the United States. You know, forget about the USS Liberty incident and that, which I've told people, I have to remind people. I said, do you realize that the USS Liberty incident was the first time in the history of the United States since December of 1941 that a nation has performed an official act of war against the body of the United States? And I said, that's legalese. You can take that to the bank and to a court. Well, what about so-and-so? What about the attack? I said, no. We're not talking about a bunch of wackos that got in a speedboat and so on and so forth and carried a dynamite bomb. I'm talking about the official authority and condoning and orders of the prime minister, of the leader of the country.
Our so-called ally.
Yeah, our so-called ally who committed an act of war, by definition, slaughtered over 200 people. Over 200 people were butchered, many of them killed. And this is our ally. They are our mortal enemy. And anybody listening I'll tell you this to your face, whoever you are. Israel is the mortal, not just they are the mortal enemy of the United States of America and everything that you hold dear and sacred or ever have or ever will. You are in jeopardy as long as that country exists, period.
Joe, that's pretty powerful. And, you know, let me ask you this, Joe.
I'm trying not to be... show anger or emotion. I'm trying
I share your feelings, and I know so many others do. What I'd like to find out, though, is that if you found that there were other people in U.S. intelligence and in the military, people you were dealing with then, people you still deal with today, maybe people you know in retirement, would you say that there are a lot of good people in our military and in our intelligence who share your point of view, who share your concerns?
I honestly don't know. That's hard to say because I've lost contact with so many of these people. The only people I know who've truly been on the inside after I was there are people like Chuck Carlson. And Chuck's a very super knowledgeable, ordained minister, heads-up guy, gutsy guy. And he's been on the inside there and seen some of these absolute horrors and things.
He's out of Arizona, I believe, isn't
yes,
he?
Yes, yeah.
I'll have to have him on this show sometime. I've never actually met him, but I believe he spoke at a conference.
Super American.
Yeah.
WHTT, We Hold These Truths, is his radio station.
Okay.
I advise any real American to make contact through the net, support the man. He's a decent, godly man, and he knows exactly what's going on there. The things that I got from reliable sources there, IDF soldiers defecating, going in the homes of private homes of people and defecating on their holy book. Imagine somebody coming into this country, the Red Chinese or something, and taking a piss or a crap on the Bible in the home of a truly religious person.
You know, Joe, I've heard that story told to me by other people who've been in Palestine, so here I am hearing it again.
You can take it to the bank, Michael.
Yeah.
You can take these people. There is no end to their cruelty and brutality. I mean, just things like, what was your name, Rachel Corey?
Rachel Corey, yeah.
I mean, that, for God's sake, that in itself, what could be more sadistic than to run over a young woman, almost a young child, who's trying to do some good there, and then run her over time and time again until she's squashed into nothing. And it was done with equipment we paid for.
I believe it was also an American... I think it was a Caterpillar vehicle, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes, it was. It was a Caterpillar vehicle, exactly.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Our equipment, just like the rockets that went into that ambulance and murdered those innocent, wounded people that day that was witnessed by Carlson. Like that happen there every single day. Every single day. We are in bed with the devil. At my age, I mean, I swear to God on my children's eyes, if they would allow me, I'd get back into uniform, take my heart medication with me, grit my teeth, and do something useful if I had the opportunity to go and help fight and put those people out of business, period. I swear to God I would do it. I wouldn't think twice about risking my life.
You know, Joe, I hear you say this, and I don't hear it. I don't hear sadism in your voice. I hear outrage. I hear humanity, anger.
I have
from
a
your
sense
heart.
Of truth and justice, Michael.
Right.
My whole life has been dedicated to truth. I'll look any man in the face and stare him. I don't care who it is, and I will tell you the truth. And I get outraged at injustice.
Well, good
and
for
I will
you.
Never
Joe,
apologize.
Joe, we have a break
that.
Coming up here, and believe it or not, we've only got 5 minutes left. But I want to bring up a caller before we roll off with the hour. Stay tuned, ladies and gentlemen. A very interesting program, just as I promised. You won't hear this on ABC or CBS or NBC.
Catholic priest calls on Catholics and Christians to resist an unjust attack against Iran. Father John Martinez, a Catholic priest, speaks out to declare the Catholic Church's true teaching, that it would be a mortal sin for Catholic soldiers to attack Iran. In a one-hour lecture, Father John Martinez warns about the Jewish plot to rule the world and to use the United States to ignite the flames of World War III by its satanic plan to unjustly attack Iran. He exposes that George Bush is Jewish and how Congress is controlled by the Jews. Father John Martinez gravely warns of nuclear weapons being used by the United States and the threat of the possible end of the world. For additional information on how you can help stop World War III, order Father John Martinez's CD entitled An Unjust Attack on Iran, available for $10 by Father John Martinez. Just go to www.republicbroadcasting.org and click on our web banner for the address. Eating a well-balanced diet filled with whole foods is sometimes hard to achieve, so supplementation can be beneficial. But WholeFoodToday.com believes that if you want to supplement, you should be doing so with products made from complex and natural whole foods, which the body can recognize and utilize as food, rather than with synthetic formulas of isolated vitamins made in chemical factories. Whole Food Today is dedicated to bringing you the finest health products at an incredible value. Nutrient formulas for men and women, super green food formulas made from over 30 vegetables, legumes, sprouts, immunity health formulas, coconut oil, krill oil, and many other products made 100% naturally. Visit us today at www.wholefoodtoday.com or call 1-800-989-9840. That's www.wholefoodtoday.com or call 1-800-989-9840. Whole Food Today offers free shipping to all orders anywhere in the continental U.S. Whole Food Today, empowering people to attain and maintain extraordinary health.
Since 1988, Herbal Healer Academy has been the global supplier of the finest natural medicines. We specialize in keeping you alive and healthy. We provide outstanding products like ECX, colloidal silver, olive leaf extract, oregano oil, and hundreds of herbals, oils, books, and educational materials. We have homeopathic detox solutions for chemtrails, radiation, MSG, and aspartame poisoning. We also train naturopathic healers via correspondence education. Why wait any longer? Go ahead and do it today. Sign up on the web and receive our new 120-page catalog and a current Herbal Healer newsletter free. Simply log on to herbalhealer.com and check out the online member testimonials and our hundreds of exceptional products. That's herbalhealer.com, your website for safe, effective, natural alternatives and education. That's herbalhealer.com.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, Michael Collins Piper here. You've heard a man speaking from his heart and from personal experience, and that's what makes this show tonight so important. I can sit here and talk all about Israel, but I haven't been there. This gentleman, Joe Cortina, has seen it, and he's just given you the tip of the iceberg, and we're definitely going to have Joe back. In the meantime, I want to mention that he is going to be speaking in northern Idaho this weekend. And I don't have the specific details on it right now, but it will be over this weekend.
Next weekend, Michael.
Oh, I'm sorry. It's next weekend. Okay. Well, in any case, we're going to bring further details on that on tomorrow night's program. But, Joe, I want to bring up one caller here in a couple minutes we have remaining. And I do want to thank you for coming on this show because this has been very interesting and very informative for me personally, and I just want to thank you again at this juncture. So,
Michael, thank you.
This has been fantastic.
Thank you for the opportunity.
Let's bring up Keith from Rhode Island. Keith, we just got a minute or so left, but I wanted to get you up here.
Yes, yeah, thanks for putting me on here. Mr. Cortina, I'd like to hear any thoughts you might have about Baruch Goldstein. I understand he's a national hero in Israel, the man who massacred several dozen Palestinians while they were in prayer. I understand there's a monument dedicated to him in Israel. He's a national hero, and I also heard that the Israeli army has a one-shot, one-kill policy with regards to Palestinian civilians. If you look at morgue photographs of Palestinian victims, you'll see there's always one bullet to the center of the chest or the forehead. So when I hear the Israeli army or Israeli spokesmen claim that it was, that these Palestinians were accidentally killed, if you look at the autopsy photograph, there's no way. It's always one shot to the center of the chest, one shot to the center of the head. There's no way they could have been accidents. So I wish we had a little more time to discuss this, but I guess right now I'm just really focused on Baruch Goldstein and the Israeli army's policy of deliberately killing civilians.
Well, as far as the persons you talk about, they had built the ostensibly built a memorial to and so on. Honestly, I am not aware of him, so I cannot speak on that intelligently. As far as the purposeful murdering of these children, I can guarantee you these people are among the best trained in the world. They don't have accidental shootings. When you kill a 10-year-old child, not a tough job. You just blow his little head off. One shot. That's all it takes. And that's what they've been doing, murdering civilians by the hundreds and by the thousands. People who you will never have a chance to see, you will never hear the story, because anybody who dares bring that out is in jeopardy of their life, literally.
Wow.
My situation and circumstance was I was there under the graces of, let's say, the protection of, well, somewhat of the United States military, and being there with the embassy, official embassy people and so on, I think it made me relatively safe. That was a unique circumstance, and I didn't realize until years later how important that would be to my fellow Americans, my neighbors, people in this country to learn what's going on.
Joe
Michael,
Cortina,
if I've got another few seconds, I've got something I want to say.
Well, Joe, we are running out of time, but we are going to have you back here. This has been quite a show. Thank you so much, and Joe, God bless you. You may not be a war hero, but you're an American hero for daring to say what you're saying. You're just telling the truth. Thank you so much. I look forward to meeting you someday soon, and we are going to have you back on this program very, very soon. So thank you so much.
It will be my pleasure, my friend.
All right,
thank
Joe,
you for the
Joe
job
Cortina,
you're doing.
Ladies and gentlemen, what a guy. Ladies and gentlemen, you heard it here, and you only hear this kind of talk on a Republic Broadcasting Network. And thanks to Mark Glenn for getting Joe Cortina here with us. What a program, folks.